Good morning. Most of you may have heard this announcement read in your religion classes yesterday, but I've been asked to read it again for those maybe who were not present or did not have a class yesterday. On April 26th, this coming April 26th, 50 college-aged gays and lesbians who are members of an organization called Soul Force plan to visit Bethany Lutheran College. This group will be targeting 32 Christian colleges across America this year, about 200 in about a three-year period. Colleges which strive to uphold the Bible's teaching about homosexuality. The administration of the college has organized a committee to plan for this unsolicited visit. In the coming weeks, you will hear how we as a Christian community should respond in a respectful Christian manner in keeping with God's holy word. And if you have any questions or concerns about this, you may direct them to any of the committee members. And I'll list those for you. Vice President Stephen Yeager, Dean of Students Ted Monty, myself, Director of Public Relations Lance Schwartz, and Vice President Ron Young. This morning we use the Office of Matins, which you'll find beginning on page 109. You may remain seated for the first portion, and we begin with the versicles. Our lection reading today is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 31st verse. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to you.
Not too many days ago, three climbers were finally rescued out on Mount Hood in Oregon. Not too many months before that, three other climbers had gotten lost and died right in that same region of the mountain. In fact, two of the bodies from that first group, back in, I believe, December, have not yet been recovered, not yet been found. It's possible that these most recent climbers that were lost may have, early on, they apparently fell down about 100 or 150-foot drop. They may have early on sort of underestimated how desperate their situation was and their condition. Every once in a while, climbers who go to the tops of these mountains will occasionally run into and find the bodies of previous climbers who had died. And I can't imagine what that's like, the sense of reality that comes to you when you suddenly come across this body high up in the mountains like that of another climber. How terrifying that would be if these ones in this recent group had possibly come across the ones from the previous group, and the sudden reality of just how awful and desperate their situation and condition truly was. If you happen to see any of the reports of these three most recent ones when they were rescued, you can completely understand the great relief that they had in their voices and seen in their faces and so on. You get the impression that they didn't realize just how enormous this rescue effort had been to spare them and to find them. Over 50 climbers risked their own lives in this recent effort to go up and find them. And it's possible that they didn't appreciate the grand scale, the magnitude, if you will, of this great effort to go out and save their lives. And many of those other climbers that went up after them risked their own lives at great personal cost and possibly to that of their families. And then to think that if one of these three who recently was rescued were to realize that even if she or he, there were two women and one man, even if she or he were to have been the only one lost, that the same type of rescue search team would have gone out. In the spiritual realm, it's easy for us in this fallen world and in our fallen condition to underestimate just how desperate our condition really is. Yeah, we know about sin, and we can try to imagine a little bit what hell would be like and eternity away from God. It's almost unrealistic for us sometimes to get our minds around that. Just imagine if for 10 seconds, just 10 seconds of your life, God lets you actually look into hell, actually let you see what that kind of suffering would be like. Just a 10-second glance. I bet we couldn't keep our eyes there for more than 3 or 4 seconds. In this Lenten season, let us reflect on the massive search effort and rescue effort that God has embarked upon to make sure that we would never know what it likes to feel that place. And this effort, this rescue plan, started in the heart of a gracious God. A God who loves you deeper than you and I can ever understand in this world. And he chose to organize and lay out this plan, to put together this great rescue. He laid it out in the pages of Holy Scripture through the words of the prophets. And then when the time finally came to implement it and send out the great Redeemer, I love the way Martin Luther puts it in his hymn. He spoke to his beloved son, 'tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow, set him free. Slay bitter death for him, that he might live with thee forever. And that Son of God, our great Redeemer, our great Rescuer, took this plan and embraced it in his own heart and came down into this world to spare us. And you can tell in the text before us, even as Jesus is about now to go up to Calvary, as he expresses to his disciples, you can tell how well aware he is of the plan that has been laid out for him in this rescue effort. And he's also well aware of the cost. He's well aware of what it's going to mean for him personally and what he will lose and what he will have to suffer. But that doesn't matter. What matters most is he has to find you. He has to get you. He has to claim you so that you never know what that glance into hell is really like. And even if you happen to be the sole one individual lost person in this world because of the fall into sin, it would not have changed God's rescue effort one bit. It is certainly for the whole world, and yet it is for you personally that he has come to take this great action. How focused your rescuer was and is. And it finally reached you and grabbed you in the waters of baptism. And it's not until you and I are finally rescued and delivered into the safety of heaven when we will fully understand and appreciate the magnitude of this rescue effort, the cost that it put upon God's own Son. In this life, we can try to come to grips with that and appreciate it, and we certainly can as God's children. But in heaven, when we're finally safe, are we going to appreciate it there? But even now, we can rise to sing glory to Jesus and let our lips praise him for such a fantastic rescue. Amen.
Thank you. with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.